Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep, and I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes.
The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Our Maybelline commercial aired with the premiere, and we also got a lot of really nice comments about that. So everyone who mentioned us on the Maybelline thing or sent us positive feedback, we really appreciate it, because obviously Joe and I are not actors.
Speak for yourself.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues Renewed.
This is Bachelor Clues.
What? You just now assume everybody's going to do a weird British accent at all times for any reason?
No, that was trying to be grocery. I know, I can't do it.
Okay, well, we certainly opened our show today with a clip from Grocery and Serena. That is a clip from the new Happy Hour, or whatever, the old Happy Hour with the new hosts, where they were obviously talking about their Maybelline commercial. I have been listening to the new Happy Hour with these two hosts for a minute. That was from an episode when they recapped this most recent episode of our beloved game, of episode 2 of Charity Lesson Season. It's wild.
It's already giving.
Yeah, it's giving, giving. It's really giving, crazy. Giving. I can't, like...
It's giving me an aneurysm.
It's giving me curiosities. It's giving me... the inability to stop listening,
because they talk about kind of nothing. They're just meandering around about their lives and weirdnesses. It's really a great insight into their relationship, into them, mm-hmm. but unintentionally so. They're trying to stick to a script of like, let's do this recap, but little things peek through the corners, come through the cracks. It's so fucking good.
I mean, I think that's the most interesting thing about a couple hosting yes. it, is it's just like, you're going to get insight into that dynamic, definitely.
And you do.
And also the content. He's going to go into acting? Yeah. Is this... What does this mean?
It means, Nick, I'm coming for you. You gave it a shot. You got a couple of commercials. You were in a Hallmark movie. But I'm going to win in the Oscar.
Look, Pace should really stick in a wheelhouse of a therapist, not actor. Yeah.
Exactly. He gave up on acting to become a therapist. Poor Vial.
No, I think he's a multi-hyphenate. That's what it means.
Podcaster, influencer.
The new EGOT.
Sure.
P-I-A-T. The Piat.
The Piat.
Podcaster, okay. Influencer, actor, therapist.
He's
EGOT is over.
Yeah. Piat is the new EGOT. Well, speaking of Piats and EGOTs, we got a Piat of a show for you today, of a Twibbon for you today. There's a lot of...
Professional.
Yeah, thank you. There's a nice transition. Thank you very much. There's a lot of news that we got for you. A lot of parasocial plays. Of course, we're going to be talking about those gains. And we are going to have a very interesting state of the game up top, where we're just going to be talking about really what's going on in this season 20. Because it is seeming like some new, very different good things are being done.
Are we seeing good at job?
I don't want to jinx it. We're only two episodes in, but we'll get to that in state of the game. But we also have, for your pleasure, a brand new episode of After Reality. Courtney Robertson's show is out. You can check her out in her feed. Again, her show is called After Reality. We are also now on Threads. I know everyone is out there. 30 million people have signed up for Threads because everybody's pissed off at Twitter.
I joined immediately. You both just told me what it was in the meeting, and I joined immediately.
I mean, you can join it very easily. It's basically Threads is Meta, or Facebook, if you still want to call that, which owns Instagram. It is their version of Twitter. Now that Twitter is in free fall.
And it's exactly the same minus DMs.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's the same minus DMs and minus the news search function. But it is Zuckerberg's attempt to dethrone Musk, to essentially absorb the audience of Twitter. So we're on it now. Game of Roses is. Follow us there and watch all of our funny tweets. I think so far, or they're not tweets. I don't know what they're going to be called now. Threads. Watch all of our funny threads. And of course, we have all of our team merchandise out there. You can pick up shirts and hats for these parasocial teams. New York City Influence, LA Icons, Nashville Sliders, Chicago Clout, and the one that started it all, the San Diego Crew. We hope you pick those up, display them proudly, and we will have the rest of the teams in the Parasocial League coming out in the next few weeks as well. We're talking about the Canadian North. We're talking about the Las Vegas Scene. We are talking about the Dallas Source. And we're talking about, I think there's one more there that I'm missing, Denver High. Those will be available shortly. So we hope that you will stay tuned and you'll be able to pick those up. If we don't have your city yet, it's coming if it's one of those four. So,
yeah, and we have heard some calls for further teams, and you know we're making them as fast as we can at our little gore workshop.
And we have to have an expansion to the league if we're going to start adding teams like Atlanta and things of this nature. We're going to need some more players to show up and live in those cities. Mm-hmm. These first cities that were coming out are basically where all Bachelor players move to.
Player hubs.
But at any rate, all that's out there. And we got a good at job mug. You can pick all of this stuff up at gameofroses.co. Now, let's get into this pace case. Let's do what we came here to do. This is
Game of Roses. State of the game.
This is a good state of the game because we think this season, as we are two episodes into it now, is good. There's a lot of season left, but so far, Bachelorette season 20 is the best season we've seen since the first season after the pandemic lockdown back in 2020, which was Claire Crawley and Tayshia Adams' fractured Bachelorette season 16.
We have suffered through six bubble seasons. That's Bachelorette 16, Bachelor 25, Bachelorette 17 and 18, Bachelor 26, Bachelorette 19, and a Bachelor season 27 that had all of the personality drained from it out of what we think was probably a fear of any kind of scandal or online backlash. And finally, after all of the turmoil and mishandling of the franchise for 3 years, it feels like we're getting something very similar to a Bachelorette season 15. That is Hannah Brown.
And I would also put in there that the Bachelor in Paradises, the two that were in those seasons in that time frame, were also like full of misery and people crying and not wanting to be there. And it just really felt like the producers were grinding them down. That feels gone.
Yeah. Sally Suitcase, Clayton Sucks.
Yes.
These are hallmarks of this era of suffering.
Yeah. And all the personality that was missing in Charity's edit in her rookie season, which is Bachelor 27, feels like it's being made up for in this season. We're seeing her being funny and sweet, charming, assertive, kind of whatever the situation calls for.
Face play.
Fantastic face play, which we didn't really see that much of in her rookie season. I think they really shaved that season down so that we just got nothing out of it personality-wise. But we're seeing her kind of rising to the challenge in whatever the situation may be, and it does feel like the producers are putting her on a pedestal that the leads used to be put on. It doesn't feel like their main goal is to destroy her, humiliate her, like it did for Gabby Windy and Rachel Recchia in season 19. It's almost as if the producers have found their way again. Again, I don't want to say this, and like jinx it, but that's what it fucking feels like. And maybe it has something to do with the removal of Fleiss. I don't know. That happened during the selection process of this current Bachelorette season. Maybe it has something to do with the mass firing of all the producers that were loyalists to him, the exodus of most of the other producer tier. I don't know why this is happening exactly, but that is what, through two episodes so far, it does feel like this is what's happening.
Yeah, it feels like the toxicity in the producer tier and the contempt that it felt like the show had for players and leads alike. This started back in 2014 with the first villain bachelor, Juan Pablo Galvez. It seems like this has been drained out of the show. And what we are left with is this old feeling that we used to get when we watched. The excitement, the anticipation, we're rooting for the lead to succeed instead of waiting for the producers to put them in an unwinnable position.
And there's also something going on this season that we ain't seen in a goddamn minute. The treatment of the villain is completely different. At least, again, two episodes in. Early part of the season, I get that. I have to keep putting that caveat out there because I'm just waiting for that other shoe to drop. But so far, Brayden, who has been pretty well established as this season's villain, at least the early season villain, we don't hate him. I personally fucking love him. He's my favorite player. And I think he's kind of the favorite player of the entirety of the nation. It's like why we're watching. So whether you think he's 4TRR or 4TWR, he is captivating. And this has to do not just with him as a player. It's also how the producers are choosing to present him. Villains in past seasons have been moralistically judged by producers, presented to us, the fourth audience, as not just like a person to hate on the show who's bad in whatever dating situation, but as a person that you should hate across all social media platforms and in life generally and send death threats to. Villains in the recent seasons have been really fucking drugged down and presented as just like horrible pieces of shit. The producers in this season gave him the fucking fimp. They're presenting the villain of this season, at least the early season, as a viable candidate for Charity to date. So even the villain is now fun again. And he is a fun villain just in his own personal playstyle. The big earrings, the kind of
earrings.
Yeah. And it just feels like we haven't seen this in a long time. It harkens back to me to like a Corinne Olympios or a Tierra Lacazzi, you know, these villains that we like kind of loved that they were there still. We knew that they didn't have like a long or like a Tierra Lacazzi, at least I think we all knew, did not have a chance to win the season. Corinne, I was like, she's got an outside shot. She made it to fucking hometowns. I can see Brayden going that far.
She was the star of the season, and the third audience served her. You know, they had her serve her cheesy pasta in the women tell all
exactly.
And come back to fight her villain edit with this PTC about why she had the adult nanny. There's also some new things being done in the edit this season. In night one, we saw intro packages cut into limo exits for the first time, which I loved. And this week's episode saw some dynamic action direction on the forced nudity and forced violence group date. We have some fun house life clips where we feel like we're actually getting to know the players. We've seen promo packages for the dodgeball date that recount the legacy of that date in the other seasons. And we've seen these old crowns sending well wishes for Charity in video messages that help to bolster this idea of legacy. And they're techniques we've talked about implementing here at Game of Roses for years. And it feels to us like they're actually listening now.
Do you think that we've had impact on this?
I think we have had an impact on the show for sure. I don't know in what ways.
I know some very specific ways.
Yeah.
We're talking about players that have been coached to go in. We're talking about players reading the fucking book we wrote about how to win. Like, I do know some specific ways, but in terms of like this, I don't know either.
It's like we've been calling for these changes, but so have a lot of other people. So I certainly don't take credit for it. And there's a part of me that's worried that they're only honoring the legacy because it's the 20th Bachelorette season. But I'm hoping
that
this is something that will continue past this season.
Yeah. I didn't mean like we Game of Roses specifically. I meant we more as like kind of fourth audience commentators, like the whole wave of all the podcasts and all the people who are writing about it and talking about it and really like, I don't want to say like holding the producers accountable necessarily, but at least giving valid objective critique of what is wrong with these prior seasons. Why does it feel so bad? I think maybe they are listening. I don't want to jinx it. I keep saying that because I just like this fucking season so much and I don't want it to take that turn. And so far, like we're two episodes in.
Yeah.
Remember, like even one episode into season 19, you had a fucking army of children coming out of the limo and singing Clayton Sucks. They started that season on a horrible down note. Bachelor 26, same thing.
After him reading mean tweets about himself.
Exactly. They started his season on a horrible down note. That just ain't here. It's mm-hmm. the exact opposite. Even a thing that I thought was going to be kind of shitty, the undercover brother thing with Charity's brother coming in and pretending to be the bartender. That shit worked. That shouldn't have worked. That shit worked.
That only worked because of his charminance.
Great. But maybe that's something that's in that producer tier now that like when they did her hometown and we got to see him for the first time. It was like, oh shit, this guy's got something. Let's put him in the fucking show. Let's give him a bigger role. Even that kind of producerial decision.
And choosing which clips to show of him. They showed him having fun and not just him being like, I want Charity to find the best love ever. It wasn't like just straight cheese ball, which is what it seemed like it was going
to
be.
And they tried to hang a little bit, maybe too much drama on it. Like, I've got this information. This guy was fucking bragging about kissing you. And then she smoothed it over, whatever. They tried to make some drama where none existed. And they've done that with the pool things too. But like, I forgive them that shit. That's just kind of like... What else are you going to do? They have to have something to put a narrative through the show about like drama is happening. Drama is afoot. I don't know. I don't know how the season's going to end up. But as of week two, I'm fucking loving it. I'm fucking loving it. And it just feels good to watch it again. It feels like this is, it's tapping back into kind of what I fell in love with in the first place about our beloved game. So if this is a season that you might have decided already, you're not going to watch it. You might have checked out for one reason or another over the past 3 years or so.
You might have been out for many seasons since Matt James, perhaps.
I truly would recommend giving this a chance this season if you haven't so far. For us, it's the best season that we've seen, I think, since Hannah Brown. You know, Pilot Pete's season had a little bit of that...
magic.
Yeah, no, I mean, Pilot Pete season's great, but it still had a little bit of that, like, oh, the producers are real pieces of shit. They're fucking this guy over bad.
I mean, putting your one night stand as the as the musical performance, Chase Rice, and him being out of the loop in it. I can't imagine them doing something like that to Charity. Time will tell in this season, but I'm opto 2023 about it.
So am I. I know that we've seen in the promos Charity saying I'm done or something to that effect. And we know that they push every lead to that point. I mean, heartbreak is one thing that happens in every season. Mm-hmm. And you kind of like, that's the design of the game, is that you're going to have one person falling in love with multiple people, or at least getting very emotionally attached to multiple, and they have to say goodbye to some and whatever. Heartbreak is fine, but it's the leaving of the show that they try to push the lead to every season. And it just depends on the severity of what they do to get there. I think with Charity, hopefully it's not a crazy severe thing. It's mm-hmm. just kind of a holdover. It's something the producers yeah. feel that they need to do. And they're still able to put her up on that pedestal. And I don't know. It just feels strangely to me
like
she's being supported by the producers this season.
100%. I think even all the promos have been putting her up as this, like, I don't know, Alice in Wonderland queen or some sort of like fairy tale queen-esque mm-hmm. Thing. And I have seen so many posters for this season. I don't know.
Same.
I just saw one at the Americana.
Well, the Americana in the Grove, two hallowed grounds here in Los Angeles, California, where the icons call home. Both of those places are, I don't know what the deal is, but they are just fucking laden with Bachelor promotion. If you go to the Grove too, it's the same thing. All the little kiosk ads are all Bachelor, Bachelorette. I love both of those places. God damn it. I'm so glad that we get to go back to the Grove now. I go there almost every day. That's not true. I'm there once a week, minimum. Minimum.
Okay.
Just to walk around and smell the air.
Leaking your assassination coordinates again. Clues.
If I get fucking taken out at the Grove, then it was meant to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Died doing what he loved. Walking the grounds of the Grove.
Looking at Bachelorette posters at the Grove. Gazing at Charity. You know,
it sounds crazy when you say it, but it's no less true. But that is the state of our beloved game. We are both very optimistic about this season. So far, it is a breath of the freshest fucking air we have had in a goddamn minute. And it just feels good again. I'm like really happy with this season so far. I'm like looking forward to each episode airing in a way that is like, I can't wait to see this. Not like, oh shit, I hope they don't do something bad to everybody tonight. I don't have that like foreboding dread that I had in other seasons, I guess.
I hope we don't eat our whole State of the Game words.
That'll be a digging deeper where we have to go back and listen to this whole State of the Game and deconstruct everything we're saying.
Yeah. Wow, we were so wrong.
We did it. We jinxed it. We were the reason. But no, that's the state of the game. And again, I just want to like implore anybody out there who's listening to this that has decided they're not going to watch this season to give it a shot. I think you're going to like it a lot. That said, let's move on to the next portion of our program where we're talking about the numbers of Instagram followers and the ratings for our beloved game. This is...
This Week in...
Games.
This week, our beloved game scored a 0.2 in the 18 to 49 year old demographic with 1.6 million raw viewers. This is down 30% from last week. And week two's offering of our beloved game came in third among all network shows in its time slot behind a rerun of The Neighborhood on CBS and a rerun of The Wall on NBC, managing to beat out a rerun of Crime Scene Kitchen on Fox.
That sounds made up. It sounds like one of those 30 Rock shows.
I know. I was like, what? What the fuck is Crime Scene Kitchen?
Of course, we don't know how many people are watching on Hulu and on various streaming, and it must be multiple times this size in order for them to keep making the show. But like we said up top, everyone should be watching this season, in our opinion. Best in many years. So maybe we can... get those ratings up, baby. Let's go. Yeah.
If only we had 1.5 to 2 million people listening to Game of Roses. Yeah. Maybe.
If only we maybe had that few.
Put a dent in it. Yeah, exactly.
Now for those gains on social media, some of which, well, I'm less softo about the Instagram gains. Charity gained 6K this week for a total of 123,000 Instagram followers and 800 added on TikTok to complete her total of 16K TikTok followers. Now for the top five Instagram gains this week. Coming in first, eyeball player Joey Grazia Day gained 6.2K for a total of 12.9K.
John Henry Spurlock for his swan song gained 2.3K for a total of 6.5K.
John Burrish gained 1.6K for a total of 4.6K.
FIMP recipient Braden Bowers gained 1.6K for a total of 4.9K.
And rounding out the top five is Warwick Ryder gaining 800 for a total of 3.8K.
Do any of these men break 100K?
Ring winner? Next Bachelor?
Does Charity break 250K?
Yes. I see 300K.
500K? I think that's probably roughly accurate. I believe Katie Bigger, last season's ring winner. We're talking about Zach Shawcross, of course. Let's just check her real quick as a kind of baseline. Katie Bigger's at exactly 300K.
Okay.
And what is Zach at right now? Shawcross is at 215. So that should give you some idea. Women traditionally in the game do far better than men in Instagram, but their numbers are down significantly from like prior seasons. So I think you're right. I think she's going to top out somewhere in the 300K area. And I think you might have her ring winner scratching at 100K, breaking it. I don't know. Depends on how the season plays out. We'll see.
Some of them will break out parasocially.
That is completely possible. Could happen. But moving on to the top five Instagram chart, we got in the first spot, Joey Grazia Day has 12.7K.
Night one guy, is in second place with 12.5K.
This week's title player, Adrian Hassan, in third with 6.9K.
Pro wrestler Caleb Ballgard is in fourth with 6.5K.
And John Henry Spurlock rounds out the top five with another 6.5K.
Woo-wee.
I know. These are numbers we've literally never seen before.
Top five TikTok chart. We've got number one, Christopher Spell, 174.2K.
And number two is PP at 30.4K.
Third place, Caleb Ballgard, 21.5K.
Fourth place, Khalid Hassan, 6.6K.
And Aaron Bryant in fifth place with 200 TikTok followers. It's there for the taking, guys.
I know. And the top two guys on this are no longer in the game and came in with these numbers.
Number four is not in.
Yeah, number four is also not in the game. Interesting social media layout this season. Really have never seen anything like it. The numbers are very low on Instagram. And even on TikTok, the people who have high numbers already had them before they came into the game. Who knows, though, as the season progresses, these numbers will all go up at least a little bit. And we don't know what the ceiling is on them, but it's going to be a curious one to watch this season.
Yeah, getting curiouser and curiouser.
I mean, God, just thinking back to like Hannah Brown's season, you had Tyler Cameron coming off of that, Pilot Pete, Jed Wyatt, if you want to throw Luke Parker into the top four. But you had in Tyler Cameron, he cracked 2 million. Eventually, Pilot Pete did too when he was the Bachelor. Insane. And Tyler Cameron still has 2 million plus. He maintained it, I believe.
I mean, what season was Demi on? Pilot Pete? She got 1 million followers. Yeah, these numbers are paltry in comparison.
Gonna have to put in some work, guys. Maybe even beyond this season. You're gonna have to go to Paradise. You might have to become the next host of Clickbait, which still, by the way, we don't know anything about. Clickbait has not put out an episode since May 31st, and even that was a rerun.
If I were a rookie, I would be making parasocial content all the time that was just an audition tape to be the next Clickbait host.
Absolutely. I would even be... Here's what you should do right now if you're an incoming rookie and you're thinking about, how can I extend this? How can I either entrench myself within the nation and get that Clickbait job or something like it? You literally start making Instagram Reels and TikToks with headphones on, just like Grocery Store Joe used to wear when he did Clickbait videos. You speak into a microphone, you make exactly that same shot, and you just simply say, "Welcome to Clickbait. I'm your host, blah, 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 blah." And you go through two or three news items in today's pop culture. You do a little mini episode of Clickbait. You call it Clickbait. They will give you the job if you're good.
Call it Clickbait. I don't know if I would call it Clickbait, but...
Just start doing it. Hey, this is whatever from season... It's my name from season 20 of Bachelorette. Welcome. I'm the new host of Clickbait. Let's get it started. And you just start doing some little episodes. Just do it. What do you got to lose?
I would do the part with the news items, definitely. Or like little.
Yeah, exactly.
Three sentences summarizing tonight's episode. Even do recaps.
Yes, perfect.
Show yourself watching perfect. The show, etc. Just like the bar is low here. You can get in the top 5 TikTok followers if you just get more than 200 TikTok followers.
I'm telling you, they don't know what they're doing with clickbait right now. They had to quickly scramble and be like, fuck, we need happy hour back on the air. What are we going to do with it? Get grocery, get Serena. Okay, taken care of. They're not thinking about clickbait. If you show them a reason to think about it, you have the job. They will fucking give it to you immediately. If you can get a TikTok to go viral, if you can get 1 million views by pretending that you're the fucking host of the clickbait show, you're the host. Here's your job.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements. This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with MeUndies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort. From the outside in. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today. With Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, Your hair and skin will thank you.
What about Andrew Spencer and Greg Grippo?
Do it. Do it immediately. Andrew Spencer and Greg Grippo, if you're listening, make a video where you are simply just hosting clickbait. Call it clickbait. Say you're the new hosts. They will give you the fucking job. I'm not shitting you. If that's of interest to you.
Of course.
Fuck, I might do this.
Do it.
Hi, this is Magical Clues. I'm the new host of Clickbait. Can't wait to get into all that juicy clickbait with you. First up in the nation, we've got a big story. It's about how The Bachelor producers fucked over Becca Kufrin and Thomas Jacobs, two of their biggest stars, to put groceries to.
Oh my God.
I don't think they'd like me as the host of Clickbait.
Yeah, maybe choose different news stories. Here's how Hannah Ann Sluss puts together an apple pie.
Yeah. This just in, we've got huge news breaking and everybody's weighing in with their opinion. Is this four cookies or five? That's a deep cut if you know what I'm talking about. So now let's move on to that next portion of our program where we do our clickbait.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
Up first in Bachelor Nation News, Madison Pruitt continues her utter domination of the Christian influencer world in a new partnership with Christian dating app Upward. In promotion for her new partnership, The Bachelor Season 24 finalist and PVC Ultimatum player had some interesting things to say about her relationship with billionaire Grant Trout to Us Weekly.
Of her morning routine as Trout's wife, she said, "I wake up, I go have my time with God. I have a prayer closet and I get in my prayer closet and I pray and I just spend time reading the Bible and just like filling myself up and reminding myself of what's most important. And then from that place, I'm able to really be the wife that God's called me to be and to really love him well and to meet his needs." Is that's God or Trout?
Trout. She fills herself up with God in her prayer closet so that she can be the wife God intended her to be for her billionaire.
Gotcha.
Of her partnership with the Upward Christian dating app, Pruitt said, "I think one of the hardest things about dating is you're going on a date and you haven't asked all those like hard questions. What's your faith? What are your values? How were you raised? What do you hope for your future?" And I think something that's cool with Upward, you know, you're kind of already doing that front work early on.
We wish Pruitt luck on her new endeavor and we cower in fear. What seems to be the limitless possibilities of Pruitt to ascend to new levels of power in human society? I'm glad you're on this story, Clues.
I'll take full responsibility for writing that. Me and Pace Case were talking about this just before we sat down to record.
Yeah, you screamed. You screamed. You issued a scream about this.
Was it a scream? I don't know.
In my mind, I was like, that could be your scream today.
My scream today is a fucking doozy, and it ain't that. But I'm reminded when I watch Pruitt of these old movies called Omen. It was a series about a woman giving birth to a child that turns out to be the Antichrist and like takes over the world. I don't know. Look, it's just similarly toned. That's all I'm saying.
You're saying she's going to be the mom or she's the kid?
I thought she was the kid, but then she married this billionaire, and I'm like, they could sire the Antichrist.
Well, this is fear-mongering clues. The Antichrist is not real.
Not yet. Up next in Bachelor Nation News, a blast from the past. Bachelor Season 1 ring winner and the first sex-positive player in the history of the game, Amanda Marsh Caldwell, tuned in to Charity Lawson's premiere, something she has not done in 15 years, and she told Us Weekly's Here for the Right Reasons podcast all about it.
She said, "It was really fun to kind of reminisce because there's so much you forget just with time. And then, yeah, it is a little bit different. I noticed there's not as much, like, mood porn music."
Which there is still, I think.
The boob zone. But they used to go like, "Bow, bow, 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 bow. You gotta look good in the hot tub. Tits, ass."
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little more salacious back in the day, as was all television, especially reality television. Marsh lavished praise on Charity Lawson as Bachelorette, calling her sweet and cute. And she had this to say of current Dark Lord Jesse Palmer. Quote, "Watching him, I guess I can't help but compare him to the forever host, Harrison. With Jesse, there were some times where I think he dropped an F-bomb, one time teasing Braden with his earrings or his look with the scarf. And I was like, okay, you might be cool. Let's see more of that. Let's not be so stiff."
Ooh.
Yeah.
When asked about the upcoming Golden Bachelor, Marsh said, "That sounds lovely. And my first question is, because of my occupation, are they aging gracefully? Are they going to look like cats because they have too much filler on their face?" What? Cats? My first thought is, I hope they look like a regular person. Like, come on, can we just get a little bit of real? I don't know, but I probably would watch that just out of curiosity. What is her occupation? I
want to say she is in something like that. I don't remember. But it's always good to check in with one of the players who built the foundation of our beloved game, and we agree with her. We will be watching and covering Golden Bachelor out of curiosity, if nothing else. But I think we're going to enjoy that show.
Time will tell. Up next in Bachelor Nation news, we have barely begun season 20 of Bachelorette, but already the rumors and speculations about the next season of BIP have begun, and DLP is doing all he can to fan the flames of excitement. The former Bachelor turned Dark Lord told E! News that this season would be wild because so many people are showing up, so many people are leaving, it's hard to keep track. People are laughing, crying, there's tons of drama, understandably and expectantly. It's going to be a lot of Bachelor Nation's favorites, I think, from recent seasons showing up, but there may be a few repeat offenders from Paradise showing up themselves. Maybe even one or more former leads will be coming to the beach as well. Wow, what a tease.
The leads he's talking about are rumored to be Clayton Eckert and Rachel Recchia. He summed up the players' experience on Paradise by saying, "It's always so funny to me. I talk to everybody at the gates of Paradise," we call that the gates of hell, "before they head on down to the beach, and everybody always has a plan. There's always somebody that they're there to meet. They're really hoping that person's going to be there, and they just sort of think they know how it's going to go, and that's never what happens."
No matter what happens on BIP Season 9, we will, of course, be covering it. And yes, DLP, there will definitely be some players who show up to sand with very detailed strategies. You're right about that. We guarantee it.
Up next in Bachelor Nation News, Charity Lawson is grateful to have Rachel Lindsay in her corner. Lawson told People magazine that she is aware Lindsay isn't watching this season, but she's still thankful for the trailblazing former Bachelorette support.
At Essence Fest this past Saturday, Lawson said, "Love her, obviously, and I'm grateful for her support, knowing that she is in my corner and rooting for me. It's nice to know that I do have someone to lean back on or just have an anchor in time of need. So thank you, Rachel. Obviously, and hopefully, even though you're not watching, you'll see the outcome at the end of all this."
It's great to see that even if Lindsay has parted ways with the franchise at large, she's still there for moral support when a lead needs it.
And finally, in Bachelor Nation news, the mayor of Paradise, Jordan Kimball, and his wife, Christina, welcome their first baby into the world together. Congrats go out to the mayor and his growing family.
Very cute indeed. Now it is time for us to move on to that portion of our program where we discuss all the plays our favorite players are making off the field and in their telephones. This is
the Parasocial play of the week.
Professional era alert. The rookies are stepping up to the parasocial plate. They're bringing it on social media to supplement the plays they made in-game this week, starting with one of our package deal players.
Spencer Storbeck made an interesting post on Sunday. He posted a photo of himself and Charity on night one with the caption, quote, "Bring on the comments, surprise face emoji, watch, hashtag The Bachelorette Mondays at 9, 8 Central on ABC, and stream on Hulu." He added his own comment on the post saying, "OMG, I cannot believe this man told her about having a child. So cringe." It's almost like he really didn't want to waste this beautiful woman's time. Everyone knows that you should never discuss your family dynamics with someone you hope to fall in love with. If he was smart, he would have waited at least 5 years and then just slapped a mustache on the kid and introduced him as the live-in bartender like a normal person would. 0 out of 10, end quote.
Wild. Love this. Get in there. The eyeball king, Joey Graziadei, posted a tribute to Charity and their Bachelor Nation record kiss. "I've never been someone that enjoys PDA, but this was truly a day that I will never forget. Rose emoji. Thank you for all the love and support I have received for sharing my dad's story. His love and courage is something that deserves to be shared. If you missed last night's episode, stream now on Hulu. Hashtag The Bachelorette." This post has 4.3K likes and 142 comments.
Aaron B. got into the game with a post about his first date with Charity on Instagram. reheating this one-on-one date PTC.
Reheating.
All I can... So I like reheating. I think that's an interesting way. He's reheating it.
Yeah.
He's putting this one back in the microwave. You're going to get a second helping of this PTC, and it's going to be piping hot. All I can say is, damn. This is his caption. All I can say is, damn. So honored to have been your first date of this crazy unconventional journey. This super magical date allowed us to create a safe, comfortable space between two adults. It's extremely tough for me to open up. In the past, I would always retreat to my shell, turtle reference, instead of reaching out to others for help. Found out that I was self-sabotaging by being closed off to other perspective, which raised my ego and hurt others as well. Major props to Charity, and thank you. After our date, I felt comfortable opening myself up, letting others see my true self with no judgment, sharing the world with actual people. Love, hand, sign, emoji. She's incredible. Dot, dot, dot. Therapy was the first step, letting that pride go, but the work is ongoing. 10 out of 10 recommend. Interesting that they have these 10 out of 10, 0 out of 10. They're all in the something out of 10 comments.
Right. I'm like, did they even write these? They all say stream this week on Hulu, too. Or maybe they sent it in for permission and then they added that at the end.
I think probably that's accurate. So, yeah, at the end of this one, it says you can still stream this week's episode on Hulu, in parentheses, ABC, dot, 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 hashtag therapy, hashtag men's health, hashtag the bachelorette, 1.3K likes.
In one of the most interesting plays this week from a rookie, John B., and possibly our next crown, posted an Instagram story explaining his Christian influencer tattoo of a cross in a straight-to-camera video. In this bold, Pruitt-esque parasocial play, he explains that the cross is to remind him of how God is greater than the highs and lows of every day. Happy Fourth! A strong play for a rookie that many are saying is getting a next crown Ben Higgins edit.
Yeah, that seems very Higgins-y to me. Higgins-y was also a Christian player, as we can remember him praying over the baby sea turtles before they released.
Oh, yeah, I'll never forget that. May these baby sea turtles make God. It.
It's just absolutely fucking...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
At any rate, fantastic play. And I'm very curious to see how he shapes up. Like you're saying, we are basically predicting he's the next Bachelor and was cast specifically for that.
We also predicted that of Warwick. So, and we haven't really seen him. So
could be either. I agree. But I think it's John, just based on the group date rose. And you know what I mean?
Yes.
Finally, some TikTok action from a season 20 rookie. Sean McLaughlin posted a straight-to-cam TikTok describing his reaction every time Brayden talked in the mansion, to which he posts the audio, "Oh, brother, this guy stinks." The TikTok has 2.8K views and 90 likes. It's pretty funny.
All of these were strong plays. However, there can only be one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to Abigail Herringer, Serena Pitt, Hannah Godwin, Gia Nina, and even Vanderpump Rules' Brittany Cartwright. They all collabed on a When You First Saw Us on TV versus Where We Are Now TikTok, which is on Herringer's profile in which they posted still images of the players' limo exits, etc., and then they each pose in a fancy dress at an exotic location in the now present time. And Serena P. even highlights her new sparkler as a spouse of the nation. This gigantic crossover event TikTok reeled in 43K likes and 614,000 views.
God, fantastic.
Incredible.
That's just a great fucking play.
It's so good. It's so simple, too. It's
simple and effective. That's always the best. We also had a parasocial creature play this week. There's only one on the list because it was so fucking good. We're talking about Nate Olakoya and his old dog, Percy. Percy's been here many times. I don't know how many times we've given Percy and Nate Olakoya this award. Several. They could be the most winning duo.
What about Pino and Ramen?
It's either him or it's Pino and Ramen. Like, they're both close. They're both up there. But this fucking play, this was posted to Nate Olakoya's Instagram stories. It is a picture of Percy, tongue out, guns out, out in the sun, celebrating Canada Day. There's a little speech bubble. Percy's laying on a blanket in a park, and there's a little speech bubble that says Happy Canada Day, and the caption on the street is Happy Late Canada Day to everyone back home and all the proud Canadians around the globe, Canadian flag emoji, heart hands emoji. Just a beautiful shot, and also letting you know, oh yeah, he's Canadian. Sometimes I forget that of him.
I definitely forgot that.
Great face play, Percy. Face play. Mm-hmm. Just remember that. Face play.
Wait, why are you saying that?
Might feature into the very next segment, which is a segment in which we delve deep into the bottom of the pit to issue forth our screams about how this franchise is changing our lives, even at a microscopic subatomic level. This is
Screams from the Pit.
My scream this week, I'm just telling you, it's a roller coaster of emotions. First, the bad. First the good. We were featured in a Time magazine article. About why people love Bachelor podcasts. Look it up. It's great. A lot of great Bachelor podcasts also featured with us. And on that, we were linked. And I was like, what does this link go to? And I click it. It's our Apple podcast page. And guess what's on that page, which I haven't seen in a while? Reviews. And I accidentally read a review, and it was really directed personally at me.
Oh, no.
And look, it could have ruined my week. And in some ways, maybe it still did. That's the bad. However, that happened. I told everyone that I made this mistake and read this, and everyone's like, no, but look at all the good reviews. Da, da, da. They don't really have an impact. That's just not how my brain works. But something then did happen that made the roller coaster go back up. I went to a bar, meeting up with some friends, and a lady came up to me, and she said, Lizzie Pace? And I was like, I don't think I know this person. I don't know. Sometimes I pretend I do remember people because I just assume I've forgotten.
Yeah, like from high school or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And then she was like, from Game of Roses, I was like, oh, yeah. And she goes, I love you. Parasocial love level 4.
Wow.
And then she just disappeared into the crowd. I don't know. I think she was real. But shout out to that lady.
You hallucinated
for making me feel better.
That's how your brain coped with the negative review. It created a person that doesn't exist to counteract it. That's some dark pit shit. The pit fucking conjured this person out of dark energies.
No, I had witnesses. My friends were with me and they were like, wow.
No, that's great. I'm glad that you had that counteraction to the bad review. Mm-hmm. You and I have been doing this for some time now, 4 years. And
four?
You know.
Is that true?
I think it's four, right? We started in 2019.
Wow.
Hannah Brown. This June was our 4-year anniversary. But, you know, we talk from time to time about the reaction to what we do. And sometimes you get that negative review in there. You get a bad DM or whatever. And so I just want to give you my review of you, Pace Case.
Aw.
Funny brilliant, expert at this on a level I have never known anyone to be able to achieve, and the only person I want to be digging this fucking pit with.
That's so nice. Thanks.
My pleasure. Now, let me issue forth my strange scream.
Take that, haters. Now you're going to get started.
Yeah, exactly. Here's some compliments. Clues now that I've roped you in with compliments, listen to this. So I do another podcast with a friend of mine whose name is Will Sasso. We do this podcast called Dudesy. Mm-hmm. On this podcast, we're watching a music video, which we sometimes do. Sometimes we'll watch music videos from when we were kids, like in the 80s and 90s and shit, and just be like, oh, fuck, look, remember how good this video was or how good the song was, whatever. Uh-huh. Like nostalgia kind of shit. So we're watching this video for John Cougar Mellencamp.
I know Teddy Mellencamp.
Hurts So Good.
I'm guessing I know his daughter. She was on Real Housewives of New York.
Oh, no shit. Interesting. I didn't know that. It's all things are connected, I guess. But so we're watching it, and he's seen this video a bunch, and it's like a crazy video. Crazy in that it's just kind of like early 80s, just lazy ass fucking like, shit, he's got a single coming out. We need a music video for it. Here's a camera. Get some of your friends and just go to this bar and do whatever. You know, and you're just like, what is this? So we're watching this music video. We're kind of deconstructing it. And he pauses it right when it is a close-up of this woman's face, mm-hmm. making this crazy face. It's like full eye aperture, full mouth aperture. She's like, uh-huh. And he pauses it right in this thing. Without skipping a fucking beat, I just go directly into a faceplate deconstruction, as I would do in Bachelor. I'm like, he's like, look at her face. I'm like, this is excellent faceplate. She has full eye aperture, full mouth aperture. You get emotion coming out of this. You get excitement. You get fear. She's drawing you in. She's making herself the most important person in this music video, and she is not John Cougar Mellencamp. Uh-huh. She is stealing his thunder with a mere faceplate. I just went right fucking into it. Uh-huh. And what I realized was now, because of Bachelor, because I take faceplate as a subsport as serious as I do Hoochie's or some of the other subsports, I'm now analyzing it everywhere at all times. Even in real life, I'm doing it. If I see like somebody in a grocery store making a weird face, I'm like, damn, that guy's doing some weird faceplate. It's all I see facial expression now, which is one of the most integral parts of communication between human beings.
Yeah, one of the only things that translates cultures.
Exactly. I'm now just seeing it as a sport in all aspects of my life.
That's
thank you, Bachelor. And I actually love it. And I made a decision kind of in the moment to up my face play. I'm going to start doing bombastic face play pretty much at all times and just see what happens.
I would say not normally, but whenever you're taking a photo, you do bombastic face play. You do like the can't craziest face I've ever seen. And they're all different and all haunting, which is a great repertoire.
That's my goal. My goal is to deliver a face play that doesn't look like I'm trying to make it a face play, but it clearly is a face play.
I don't even know what that means.
He's not just making a funny face in a picture.
I don't even know.
He might be dying. Things like that, you
You're
know?
Definitely giving that.
Yeah, he's giving
definitely
dying.
Giving, he might be dying.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying for.
He might be stealing my soul.
Yeah. I just simply love face play and
it's giving help me, help me, help me.
Yeah, I am always giving that. But that's our screams for this week. And now we're going to listen to one more scream. If you would like to submit your own screams from the pit to us to be played right here in this portion of our program, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses. You join us in the bottom of the pit. You're going to get access to a bunch of stuff. All of our digging deepers, clues, corners, pace case palapas, our live shows that we do every Monday, half an hour before our beloved game starts.
Ad-free episode.
Back catalog. There's so much stuff in there now. And you're also going to get access to the Game of Roses Discord. On that Discord, there is a channel called Screams from the Pit. You can upload a 1 minute or shorter audio clip of your own scream to that channel. We play the best ones here. Today, we have one that comes from someone named V. Merck. We're going to play it for you now.
Hello, Pace Case Clues and fellow pit dwellers. You may recall a scream I submitted about 2 years ago in which I momentarily dissociated during my wedding vows when my husband made a Bachelor joke and I feared the show might get canceled. Well, gore has once again infiltrated a life milestone, my first pregnancy. I'm pregnant with identical twins and I have to go to ultrasounds twice a week. In order to keep the mood light, I've been listening to gore in my headphones during my appointments. This week I was laughing so much that the technician couldn't see the babies, so she asked what I was listening to. The time had come. I had been preparing for this moment. Cue for my detailed explanation of The Bachelor as a sport, including a plug for gore and how to win The Bachelor. I believe I successfully dragged my technician into the pit, and I have no shame about it. By the way, we're expecting two girls, and I can't help but wonder, could these pre-babies grow up to be the next Ferguson twins? Keep an eye out for them on Bachelor Season 50, since you know I've already been coaching them from the womb. Praise be our beloved game.
I forgot about the term pre-babies.
I forgot about the term pre-babies as well, but I did not forget about V. Merck's prior scream. I remember that earlier scream, and this scream, I mean, I hate to say it, that first scream was amazing. This one tops it. This is some deep, dark, pit-ass shit where not only are you're listening to the pit while you're getting your ultrasound, you take that as an opportunity to drag the technician.
Laughing too hard.
Can't see the babies. Yeah, the babies have been obscured by dark pit energy, at least momentarily. You take it as an opportunity to drag the technician into the pit. Then you're also talking about, because you have twins, you're thinking about it in terms of them being viable candidates as twin players, Gemini players, a very special kind of player that we've only seen, what, 4 times, I think, total?
Of players participating. We did see Brad and Chad Womack.
Yeah, Brad and Chad Womack. And there have been a couple of other players who have had twins that didn't come into the game. But to then be thinking about your own children as a possible twin player deal.
Joey, the young twins.
Oh, yeah. The young twins. How could I forget? But there were twins in season 4, Bob Guinea, that didn't last through night 1. Mm-hmm. There were the young twins. There were the Fergies. I want to say there was somebody else. I feel like there was a 4th twin pairing that I can't remember.
Maybe on Bachelorette. There's also been like those twins that were, one of them was on Bachelor Pad, the Stagliano. Mm-hmm. Maybe they were cousins. Fuck, I don't remember. This is an amazing scream. I hope that your babies get in the Stanley Cup one day.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. But thank you, V. Merck, for submitting this scream and for the first scream that in one way or another led to this scream, I suppose.
Yeah.
So all these life milestones being filled full of dark energies of the pit, I love it. At this point, I don't have anything that happens in my life that isn't teeming with dark pit energy. So welcome to it. It's a fun lifestyle.
I just did so many ultrasounds. Talk to my ultrasound technician about The Bachelor as well. So it also feels like deeply personal and relatable.
Absolutely. So thank you again, V. Merck. And for anybody else out there who wants to submit your scream, like I said, you just go to patreon.com/gameofroses. Join us on the bottom of the pit. Get on that Discord. Fire off your 1 minute or under audio recording to the Screams channel. And we will play the best ones here. But that's it. That wraps up this week in Bachelor Nation. We hope you guys have a great weekend. We will be back next Tuesday with a recap of next week's game. And of course, we got Grace Ann's grafting, talking about Love Island UK, happening basically all week. And we know that the Casa Amor is coming up, the big event.
Oh, you mean switch week? Well, split week?
Oh, how fucking dare you.
Split week at the residential inn or whatever. Split week at the residences.
Split week is like Threads to Twitter. To Casa Amor's Twitter.
I hope Threads works better than Split Week.
I gotta say, people are fucking not happy about Twitter. When he came out with that thing, Elon Musk basically said, like, I don't know if you followed any of this news. He's like, we're gonna limit the amount of time certain tweets can be seen. And so all these advertisers were like, oh, bye. What? We're paying so that the most amount of people can see our fucking advertisements as possible. And he's like, no, we're going to limit it and all this shit. Every decision he's making about Twitter is just fucking bananas. Tanking it.
Yes.
And so Zuck is like, remember how we ripped off Snapchat with Instagram stories and how we're trying to rip off TikTok with Reels? Can we just rip off Twitter too? And indeed they did. Threads is here. So if you're on follow us, please. Dark Seeker is going to be doing her magic over there on Threads. With whatever our Threads account turns into, I'm curious to see.
Yeah, are we going to start posting threads in parasocial plays?
Maybe. We might have to. Who's the biggest threader? What do they call? What's somebody who does threads? Like if you send out tweets, you're tweeting or I guess you're threading. Isn't that an eyebrow thing?
It's an eyebrow thing. It's a sewing thing.
Right, threading the needle.
A stitcher? What do you call a person who stitches? Fashion designer? I don't know.
Sure.
Well, that's...
Anyways.
That's our show. Rate us 5 stars.
Yeah, exactly. But we'll be back next week. And we got stuff coming out all the time. Check out Courtney Robertson's podcast, After Reality, in her feed.
And we'll be on Grafting next week also.
As will I.
Yeah, we. You and I will be on Grafting with Grayson next week to discuss Kaza more.
This is what the dark pit energy does to you. You start dissociating from who you even are. You're like, we'll be on that show next week. I'm like, so will I. Huh? My brain is melting. Anyways, before we go, as always, what is that dwabat?
It has been 7,774 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then